So if we may turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 1, we'll read from verse 18 to verse 25. And before we do, as usual, I'd like to map out where we are going with the text that we are about to read. And so what we are going to see in this text, or rather what we're going to double click on in the verses that we'll be reading, is we'll do a brief introduction, and then we'll look at the name of God, or the names of God. I'm very encouraged this morning that there is something of a theme of God's names that we have been singing about. And so it's a great encouragement to me. And then secondly, we're going to look at this whole thing of God with us and what that means. And then we will look at personal appropriation of these truths. The name of God, God with us, personal appropriation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. It reads as follows. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. So Lord, as we come to your word, we come with a sense of reverence. We come with a sense of acknowledgement that unless you speak, unless you take initiative to reveal yourself, we remain in darkness and groping about. And so we pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you'd open our eyes, and that we may be blessed by seeing who you are as you reveal yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so just by way of introduction, we are reading the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And it's very interesting that up until that time, there had been a period of about 400 years where God had ceased to speak to his people. The last person that God raised in Israel to speak as from the Lord, as a prophet from God, was Malachi. And for 400 years, God had remained silent and had not spoken to his people. And the first prophet after this period of silence was John the Baptist. But isn't it interesting that God breaks his silence, as it were, by speaking in a revelatory way. God speaks to us all the time, and he speaks to us through creation. Creation declares the glories of God, natural revelation. But God speaks to us specially, by special revelation, only through the Bible. And in the Old Testament, he had raised prophets, and sometimes he would speak to his people through angels. And if you read the story of the birth of Jesus, It's very interesting that there is tremendous angelic activity taking place here. The angel appears to Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, and then to Mary, and then to Joseph to tell him not to leave his wife, to the shepherds as they were sitting in the fields. Angels come and they declare good tidings to men and glory to God in the highest. And also appears the fifth time, it's to Joseph again, but this time in a dream. So God breaks his silence, as it were. And one of the things that he uses is angelic ministry. And we also see, just by way of introduction, the significance of names in this particular culture, which is very similar, actually, the Middle Eastern culture, very similar to African culture, that you don't just give a name to a child, a name that is meaningless, but you give most Africans and most people from the Middle East will have names that are very meaningful. And I want to encourage you, when you, if you are not native South African or African, to one of the things you can do to crack out a conversation is to ask people what their names mean, because there is a richness in there. So if you speak to me, for example, and if you don't know the meaning of my name, you will, there's a whole lot of information that you will miss out on. Because Mosala in the Tswana language, it already tells you that I'm the last born, and it also tells you within that culture that I'm the guy, I'm a very important guy, that I inherit everything that belongs to my parents. That's the significance. Just knowing my name knows a lot about who I am. And so in the Bible, names are not just throwaway things. They are very, very significant, and we need to take care of that. So point number one, the name. We see here that Matthew, and not only Matthew, but actually all the players here, all the significant people in the text, they are told, they look at the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, that speaks forth about the coming of the Messiah. And they say, his name shall be Emmanuel. And there is significance to that name, Emmanuel. And it is a tremendous blessing to me, because remember that these guys, even though they were Jews, they were actually in a Greek culture. And when Matthew was writing here, he was writing the scriptures in the Greek language. And knowing that some of the Greeks will not know the significance of names, he says to them, the Messiah was promised through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah says his name will be Emmanuel. And because he knows that the transliteration of the name Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew name, into Greek, is not going to help the Greeks at all. They will not know, what does Emmanuel mean? You have to be Hebrew to know the significance of the name and to know what the name means. And Matthew says to us here in this text, he says, the Messiah was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you're not careful, you will miss out on the significance of the fact that he's translating to the Greek-speaking people the meaning of the name that was embedded in the Hebrew language. What he's trying to say to us is, I am including non-Jews here. The Messiah is not just the Messiah of the Jews. He's the Messiah of the entire human race. And I don't want you to miss the significance of his name. His name means God with us. I think it is impossible to exaggerate the significance of that word. God becoming man. It is a doctrine that is too beautiful and too wonderful for me. It is called the incarnation. When the creator of the heavens and the earth, the unlimited one, became limited, became vulnerable, became a child, was born, conceived in the incarnation. God Almighty becoming one with us. And this was the fulfillment of prophecy. God had spoken in the Old Testament that one day I will come and I will become one with you. This is, as I say, too beautiful a doctrine, too beautiful a truth. When God, given that mankind had fallen in sin, when God chose to become one with us and became God with us, Emmanuel, God amongst his people, it is something that is supposed to bring great joy to us. Because it means mankind will not be abandoned to death and destruction. It is impossible. Because God has taken humanity. This is great news. God became man. God came to be with us so that he will destroy all of our enemies and so that we will rise with him. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. But isn't it interesting that the angel said to Joseph when he was contemplating leaving his wife, because here she is pregnant and he hasn't had any sexual relations with her, and he's thinking she has been unfaithful, there is a sense of shame, and he says, but I'm a godly man, I don't want to expose her, because in that culture, if you became pregnant like that, and if the guy said, I have nothing to do with this, she was going to be stoned to death. And being a righteous man, he says, I am extremely heartbroken by what has happened, by what I think has happened. But I don't want to expose her to shame, so I am going to leave her quietly. He wanted to just disappear. And the angel appears to him and says, don't do that. She hasn't been unfaithful to you. And then the angel says to him, you shall call his name Jesus. Let's slow down on this whole concept of names. We've just unpacked the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now the angel says to him, you shall call him Jesus. Again, it's important when we hear this, because Jesus is a Greek transliteration again of a name that is based on the Hebrew. The Hebrew original of the name Jesus is Yeshua. And if you had spoken to a Jewish person and you'd say, this person is the person who comes in to fulfill the prophet of Isaiah, who spoke about Emmanuel, God with us, and we call him Yeshua, the Jews would have known exactly what that meant. Because the name Yeshua means Jehovah is salvation. So when you call the name Jesus to the Greek-speaking people, they would not know what the original actually meant. And so they would just say, call his name Jesus. But actually, it comes from the Hebrew roots where God calls himself Yeshua. And this name is extremely, extremely important. When God revealed himself to Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God says to him, Moses says, what shall I say? Send me. God reveals himself to Moses and he says, I am has sent you. And then in verse 15, God says to him, you shall say to the people that I'm sending you to deliver out of slavery, you shall say to them, the Lord has sent me. And then he says, and that is the name by which I will be named, be called for all generations. And that word, the Lord, is the word Yahweh. And without complicating this thing, but I think it's important that we unpack and understand these things. The Jewish people, because in the commandments God had said, you shall never take the name of the Lord in vain, they never, when they read the Bible to this day, when they come to where God reveals himself as Yahweh, the four-letter name of God, they refuse to pronounce that name. They say this is the unpronounceable name of God. If you pronounce that name, you are sinning against God. God says you must not take his name in vain. So they refuse to call the name Yahweh. And even when they read the Shema in Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one," they refuse to say Yahweh is one. They say Adonai. They translate that name to another name of God that God didn't mind to have people call that one. And so they call God Adonai. Again, I don't want to bore you with details, but they changed this name Yahweh to Jehovah. And Jehovah is the name that is the Jewish people would call God. And it is the name from which the word Yeshua comes from. So when we are told here that you shall call his name Jesus, which comes from Yeshua, which means Jehovah is salvation, the Jews would have known that God has come to them in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. And for me, another very important thing, as we unpack the name Yeshua, the name Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, it's very important that we should know that God gives us salvation. Salvation is not something that you and I can accomplish on our own. You cannot save yourself. You cannot live in such a way that you are pleasing and acceptable to God. If you are to be reconciled to God, it is on the basis of Jehovah is salvation. Salvation comes from God. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is God who saves us. It is not us who save ourselves. Salvation is the work of Almighty God. That is why I said earlier, it is impossible to exaggerate this name. Emmanuel, God coming, dwelling amongst us, in order to deliver us from all of our troubles. That is the significance of the name that is revealed to us in this story of the birth of Jesus. Secondly, let's look at this concept of God with us. In what way is God with us? And why does the scripture say, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us? God is with us in at least three ways that I want to commend to you today. Number one, he is with us in association. I will unpack that for us in a moment. He is with us in reconciliation, reconciling us to the Father. And he is with us in communication, in revealing God to us. Let's look at association. God, he is God with us. He is with us in all of our troubles, in whatever state you find yourself. Jesus Christ is to us God with us. Whether you are in sorrows and difficult circumstances, here is good news. The good news is you are not in those sorrows on your own. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He identifies with us in our sorrows. If you are in poverty, I'm here to give you, this is good news, that you don't have to face that poverty on your own resources, but we have God with us. If you find yourself in a time of temptation, and I tell you, it seems to me that temptations, when they come to Christians, they are more vicious than they ever were before you became a Christian. The enemy unleashes all sorts of attacks on the people of God. But even if you are in the midst of terrible temptation at the moment, I'm here to say, lift up your heads. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is with you in the midst of temptation. And if you will look to him, he will set you free. And the last enemy, the Bible tells us the last enemy, the most vicious enemy of mankind is death. And yet, each and every one of us sitting here are in some way or another affected by death. We have the death of loved ones, death of parents, and eventually you and I are going to have to face death one day. And the good news is, even in the midst of death itself, you need to know that you have Emmanuel, God with you, helping you to face even dreadful death. Some believe that because we have Emmanuel, God with us, we will not have problems and troubles in this world. And they think because we have got God, all of these problems will not affect us. But actually, if you believe that, I like to call that over-realized eschatology, which eschatology is the doctrine of the end times. You are anticipating the end, which is a good thing, but you have overdone that. With the coming of Jesus, the Bible tells us that we are in this present time, but the time to come has broken into the present time. But these times are going parallel. There is a sense in which, because Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, all of these problems are completely destroyed, even death itself. In fact, the scripture says we are reigning and ruling with Christ. There's a sense in which these problems are broken, and you don't have to fear even death itself. But on the other hand, we are overlapping. This present time is here, and the time to come is overlapping. We are in this tension of the already and the not yet. And there are times where, as believers, we face sorrows. As believers, we face betrayal. As believers, we face even death. Look at death in the face and say to death, I have Jesus Christ. He has overcome you. He has taken the sting out of you. Even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. We have Emmanuel, God with us. But he's also God in a sense of, he's with us in a sense of reconciling us to God. Now I want to encourage, if you are here and you don't know what it is to be reconciled to God and to have a knowledge of your sins being forgiven, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, and he reconciles us to the Father. There is no other way of being reconciled to the Father other than through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you need to call on him. Psalms, I think it's Psalms 125, says that we are, even as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so God surrounds us. And then it says, those who call on the name of the Lord, those who trust in the name of the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. You need to call on God if you are to be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. But you need to call on him for him to be the atonement and to be the one who reconciles you to the Father. But he's also with us to communicate the revelation of God to us. He's with us in communication. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God in time past in various ways spoke to us and spoke to the fathers and so forth. And then it says, but he has in these last days spoken to us through the Son. The Son reveals the Father to us. And if you are in a difficult situation and you are facing perhaps moral choices and you don't know what to do or what not to do, Jesus Christ reveals the will of the Father to us. And He has done it to us through His words and works, and they are captured for us in the Word of God, the Bible. So God, Jesus Christ is God with us. It's us in association, in reconciling us to the Father, and also as being the final revelation of God. And then point number three, personal appropriation. All of these wonderful truths are glorious and awesome, but they will not help you if you do not personally appropriate them. If you know through the Word of God who Jesus is, if you realize that He is Jehovah, who is salvation, that is what His name is and means. He is God with us, and He is with us to identify with us in our various situations. He reconciles us to the Father. He speaks authoritatively to us. If you know all of those things, what remains to be done is for you to receive that. What situation are you in right now? Don't just know these truths. Personally appropriate these truths. If you are in sorrow, realize God is with you in your sorrow. He may not deliver you from sorrow so that sorrow is not there, but He is able to carry you in the midst of sorrow so that you walk, as it were, through the fire, but it doesn't burn you, and through the waters, and yet you do not drown, because God carries you. He is with you in whatever situation you are in. I want to encourage you, call on the name of the Lord. Call on Him with understanding, knowing who He is, knowing what He has done, knowing that there is salvation in no other name other than in His name alone. And then lastly, in conclusion, I want to encourage us to be joyful. This truth of God becoming flesh, dwelling amongst us, is the stuff of fairy tales. The beautiful thing is that it is in fact not a fairy tale, but it is the truth. And it is a truth that is supposed to bring great joy to the world. As the songwriter said, joy to the world, the King has come. There's this guy, N.T. Wright, says, joy happens when God finally does what His people have been waiting for. I love that definition of joy. He looks at joy not as an emotion, but He looks at joy as a worldview, as something. There is a dimension of emotion to joy, but that emotion is grounded on a realization of what God has done. If you are to look and to see, and you say, God became flesh. Almighty God became flesh. And He became flesh in order to destroy and defeat whatever problems were against humanity, so that through faith in Him, you and I are conquerors. And if you have that worldview, that frame of reference, that way of looking at the world, you say, I don't care if there are sorrows. I don't care if there are heartbreaks. I don't care who betrays me. I don't care even if I'm facing death. There is this truth that the King of glory became flesh in the person of His Son. And His name is Jehovah, our salvation. He's the one who brings deliverance and salvation to me. If you know the truth, and if you appropriate the truth, joy is going to characterize your life, regardless of how you feel at any moment in time. Because your joy is grounded on the meta-narrative, on the true, on the overall truth of what God has done for us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to close by reading this Psalm 46 for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be removed into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so, Father, we just want to thank you that you have come to us. We bless you for that beautiful name, the name Jesus, that we will utter with understanding, knowing that Jesus, Yeshua, he is Jehovah with us, Jehovah our salvation. He is Emmanuel. He became flesh in order to live a life we should have lived and did not live, and to die a death that was rightly ours to die, to take away the wrath of the Father, in order for us to be reconciled to you. We thank you for your great mercy. We thank you that you are God with us. We bless that name, the name Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.